subscribe to get all the latest episodes downloaded to your favorite device.
Or search for KBOO on iTunes, Google Play to get all the KBOO podcasts.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Journalist, author, and activist David Barsamian will be speaking about the broad coalition in opposition to the Trump administration, which includes activists from a range of causes, progressive Democrats, and concerned Republicans. He'll be reflecting on the core issues at stake today and why so many people from such a range of identities and perspectives are challenging the administration. Again, that's KBOO Presents David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, October 25th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course, your fake news radio. At 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm everywhere. Weather for today and tomorrow, slight chance of showers later in the day. Mostly sunny, though, with a high around 63. For tonight, there is again that same slight chance of showers before midnight, and lows around 47. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs are nearing 65, and tomorrow night, clear skies, and lows around 42. Yes, temperatures are dropping. Good thing they are, too, because if you don't get cold nights, you don't get those colors coming out in all of those deciduous trees. And that said, we have Ishkar joining us again today with an update from Cascadia Forest Defenders on the tree sit and the confrontation that is taking place near the Mackenzie River in the logging territory. It's a very beautiful, pristine forest that is being clear cut even as we speak, the claim being that of course that there are no old growth trees. There is a Cascadia Forest Defender currently sitting in one of those old growth trees, has been there since May. That said, we're going to go and speak, we're going to hear from Ishkar very soon. Some may remember yesterday's show that I believe it was loggers who beat up one of the defenders. It seems that there's been, along with so many other, problems with the Trump administration, there's been a sort of a tacit agreement that violence is okay. We even have a note that 84 members of Congress have signed a letter indicating that they think that pipeline protesters should be considered terrorists. Now, that's something to take note of. And we also have the dirty history of the many, many violent encounters at Standing Rock when water protectors were standing up to the people building the pipe, those building the pipeline, who seemed to be able to do this completely with absolutely no conscience whatsoever. simply to gather a paycheck in a cash-strapped economy where it is not easy to make a dollar unless one, of course, is collaborating and digging pipelines and working on fracking operations. That said, Ishkar joins us. Good morning. Thank you so much for being back with us today.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And you? How's it going out there?
It's a little hectic, but we're all safe.
That's good. That's really good to hear. And I think it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing. And I think that it takes witnesses to be there to tell the story. You can't tell the story if you weren't there. And again, that's encouragement that if you're listening right now out there, that we are all a community and we are all, we all stand in solidarity with those who are putting their freedom on the line. So give us an update on what's happening.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the point about condoned violence at protests under the Trump administration, because a little bit of that happened this morning when some aggressive loggers from Idaho, it's a logging crew from Idaho contracted by Seneca Sawmill Company, they showed up and endangered the life of a tree sitter who luckily was able to escape and is currently at a safe location. But they paid no heed to how the blockade was rigged or any of their actions that could have put his life in danger. They basically towed away half of the blockade.
I saw a picture of this, and the way the photograph was set up and the report almost mocked what the defenders were doing. And again, this is the collusion of mainstream media with the Trump administration and its emissaries in the form of Scott Pruitt, who, of course, must be enjoying this enormously. I'd like to see reporting from mainstream media that takes this seriously and interviews people who are out there doing this. About how many people are out there?
There are many dozens of people involved with Cascadia Forest Defenders.
Yeah.
As of right now, the blockade has been dismantled by aggressive loggers, and so no one is remaining at that particular site.
I wonder about liability issues. I hate to bring this up, but of course it's something that can be considered here too, is the people who have the loggers, representatives of logging companies who've got themselves involved in this by tampering with your equipment. Are there issues here that have to be taken into account? And if so, can you talk a little bit about how they're able to do what they did?
Well, we will certainly look into pressing charges. Another one of our people was assaulted this morning by the same logging crew in a violent way. So both this individual as well as the individual whose life was in danger will be looking into pressing charges for sure. I think that collusion between law enforcement and the timber industry will make it so that may not go anywhere, but we're certainly looking into it.
And the trees, I want to know more about the forest. This is such an important tract of land, and the only way that they're able to get away with it is because it is in a remote place, which is why witnessing it, what they're up to, is so important. Talk a little bit about this particular tract of land, this forest.
Well, the Goose Timber Sale is a huge project. It stretches along several miles of the Mackenzie River in central Oregon. This particular part of it is 2,500 acres, about 1,700 to 1,800 of which are scheduled for virtual clear cuts. So that's clear cuts under euphemisms such as gaps, rehab, and modified group selection and things like that. There's a bunch of different logging and yarding styles here in Goose, but they're mostly planning on clear cutting large parts of it. There are definitely a lot of residual old growth trees here, mostly Doug fir and western hemlock. It's mostly second growth. There's been fires here, so it's like regrowth after fires. Some of it has been logged before, but not all. There's a lot of maple trees that have all turned yellow right now, so there's a lot of bright yellows all throughout the forest as sunlight is beaming through the canopy. And there's a bunch of salal and sword ferns on the ground. And, yeah, but some parts of this area have already been cut and burned recently, so there's also, like, piles of burning slash along some of the roads that you drive around out here.
So the intent appears to be to create a monoculture, which, of course, is deadly as far as the survival of species. My concern again is that it's remote, of course, and people don't see what's going on. And whether it's old growth or secondary growth, I mean, thousands of years people have taken logs from the forest to, but sometimes in a more responsible manner. Is there any legal precedent? Is there any legal challenge to this logging operation?
Well, there's a lot of things that the Forest Service has said that they were going to do as part of the Goose Project that they haven't done yet. One is establishing groundwater management areas. They currently have not released a plan of how they intend to manage several of the creeks and drainages that run through the parts of the Goose timber sale that we are occupying. Another one is bull trout. They have no plan that they have released for how to take care of the potential bull trout spawning areas that are either in the Goose timber sale or downstream from it.
And how far away from there are restrictions on how close they are allowed to come to rivers and streams and so forth. What have you seen as far as compliance with those regulations?
We've seen no kind of compliance or any kind of markings or any kind of like measuring devices or pretty much any sign that they're paying attention to streams in the Goose timber sale whatsoever.
Who's monitoring this? Who is watching what they're doing?
Is supposed to be monitoring it.
And you see them?
They haven't shown any sign of actually doing their jobs besides escorting the loggers and making it easier for trees to come down.
So that would be, I'm guessing, a violation or at least a dereliction of duty. They're basically being paid to facilitate the logging. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, that's totally correct. I think the U.S. Forest Service in the Mackenzie River Ranger District is currently mostly being paid to facilitate logging. And I think that since most U.S. timber sales, like 90% of them, lose taxpayer dollars, they are basically being paid to be an armed force to help subsidize the timber industry.
This is everything you're telling me is, and telling our listeners, all of us here, of course, is disturbing, but it is not a unique circumstance. It goes on all the time. It goes on constantly. It goes on everywhere. There's talk about highway that is which would cross South America straight to the Amazon, and how this would be the death of the Amazon. And all across the world, there are operations going on that really are the death knell. Perhaps this is what this species has determined for itself. Perhaps this is a way ahead. But as far as our forests in Cascadia, I just wanted to, you know, get your talk a little bit then, just before we let you go, about the monitoring and who's minding the forest right now. I'd like to hear a little bit more about what you're doing. And what motivates people to do this? This winter is coming on. Are they going to, will they be logging throughout the winter? No. How long is this going to, the cutting going to be continued? Have you seen, when do they expect snow to come?
I expect snow to come in a couple of weeks. It's hard to say. What are we doing?
And will people be out there? Will the timber company, will Seneca be out there?
The contracting crew from Idaho is expected to be out here for a while. They cannot bring heavy machinery in when water is washed across the roads in the wintertime. They definitely can't operate heavy machinery in the snow because everything is too wet. I think that there will be minor logging for at least the next couple of months. They will try and construct a couple of helicopter landing pads. We will be trying our best to stop them.
So you're planning so that there are going to be Cascade Forest defenders out there for a while. Do you have other groups joining you?
Everyone protecting Goose right now is a loose association of individuals. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out here who would call themselves Cascadia Forest defenders, myself included. There's also a lot of other people that have come from up and down Western Oregon to help us. And they just go by their own names and aren't part of an organization as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And around Oregon, around Cascadia, there are clear cuts going on in other places. And there's resistance in wherever one of these things happens. Again, your last thoughts before we let you go. What would you like to leave listeners with?
I think that we are using a certain set of tactics to try and put ourselves on the front lines of a very old war between some humans and some urges that are within humans because of the civilization in which they are brought up. It is basically a war against all other species on Earth. And I think I've seen some really violent people emboldened by recent events, like in the Trump administration, like you brought up at the beginning of the broadcast. And I think that the loggers this morning were a really good example of that. They were blaring Fox News from their trucks. They seemed like very hostile individuals. I would not be surprised if they were white supremacists or some other kind of unsavory element that has been emboldened, as well as the other logging crew, by the way. I still want to call out Drago Brothers of Blatchley, Oregon, who assaulted one of our people on the road a couple days ago. Like I said, another one of our people was assaulted this morning.